Hello, and welcome to The Talking Show on K-Chung Radio, Los Angeles' only micro-broadcasting radio station. I'm Steve Cato, and I'm here with the boss man himself, NGM. That's right. So, other than, you know, terrifying full moons and other strange astrological events this week, the other major, major event this week, of course, is that it's back to school time.
Aw, man.
And,
bummer.
You know, it's strange. You think it would stop affecting you once you're not in school anymore, but turns out that September is still shockingly relevant.
Yeah. When I leave work, there's now a little bit of kid traffic.
That's right. That's right. So at this point, not only are most of our friends done with school, as are we, I suppose, but lots of our friends now teach at schools. And on top of that, the gallery season starts afresh. There's new TV on. All kinds of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, there's just nonstop action. All this first part of September.
Yeah. When is Game of Thrones coming back?
So, to lighten the mood from our recent investigation of music and to make a break with the summer and set ourselves on the course for a productive and amazing winter, we're going to do something a little lighter than usual. And we're going to feature someone who is, in so many ways, is an essential Los Angelino. And I mean this in the most white and diluted sense of Angelino. I'm, of course, talking about Steve Martin.
Right. Man, Steve Martin is extremely funny. Very funny guy.
That's right. Steve Martin is such an amazing comedian. And in part, I think, funny to us because he does have, you know, a similar background in academia to both of us. But also, beyond all of that, presents this fantastically myopic Caucasian worldview as the essential character in his comedy. So, ladies and gentlemen, you know how this goes. I know how this goes. Here is one wild and crazy guy, Steven Martin.
Thank you. Well, thank you very much. Great to be here for the closing night show here at what is this? Is this San Francisco? Okay, been here for 2 weeks, and this is a closing night. We do two shows tonight. And I'm really looking forward to it. So, so let's get going, huh? I mean, I think there's nothing better for a person to come out and do the same thing over and over for 2 weeks. And this is what I enjoy, so I'm just going to do the same thing over and over and over, and I think rather than do it just twice, I think I'm going to do it over and over. I'm going to do the same joke over and over in the same show. This will be like a new thing. Looking for a little different kind of thing tonight, so then this would be good. Okay. Hey, I'm not trying to be a big shot or anything like that, but I get my drinks half price. That's right, for every one you buy, I get two. So I can just have about as much as I want, you know what I mean? And it doesn't affect me. No, I'm not on this stuff. Okay. I have had a lot of fun since I've been here. I do like coming to San Francisco because it is an intellectual town. And That's kind of what I'm into. I dig the intellectual kind of thing. And I had a good time since I've been here. I know that sounds phony, because every entertainer in the world comes out, no matter where they are, they go, "Hey, it's really great to be here!" And it really sounds fake, but I am sincere when I say, "Hey, it's really great to be here!" But I dig the scene here. You know, I'm into the, sophisticated kind of thing, and that's, because I went to college. I studied philosophy and psychology in college, and I'm pretty proud of that. How many people study philosophy in college? So they can never raise their hand, they always go, like halfway, because they're so confused after about 2 years, you know? Oh, but shit. Anyway, I have a book coming out. I'm pretty proud of that. I'm getting more out of the comedy, more into the series. There's a little child there. Hi. How old is that little child?
Two.
Two? Got a joke for him. These two lesbians are walking down the street. Hi. Anyway, I do have a book coming out. It's kind of a serious work for me, and I hope you pick it up. It's called How to Get Along with Everyone. And I didn't write it by myself. I wrote it with this other asshole jerk-off. But I have a couple other books. I did Bad Banana on Broadway. How many people read that? Just a few. Okay. Ceremony for a Fat Lip. Did you read this? Oh, I did Renegade Nuns on Wheels, Dykes on Fire, and How to Make Money Off the Mentally Ill. This was a big one. How I Turned $1 million in Real Estate into $25 in Cash. I wrote Mind Gone Haywire. I'll Take the Alphabet. Trouble in Doggy Land. Howdy Doody, Man or Myth. And I did The Apple Pie Hubbub. And of course, The Apple Pie Hubbub was a significant novel for me because that's when I first started using verbs. My novels really brightened up after that. It was great. It's a good thing. But it's great. I think school is an important thing because you do learn the important questions of life. Hey, isti mundus fieri abundus, huh? Oh, forgot. You don't speak Latin. Okay. But I'm into language. This is my thing, you know. Language is the most important. I think you know what I'm trying to say. If you go to college, study the English language. So few people can really speak with pizzazz, you know? I think you know what I'm trying to say. Because we have a communication going here.
We're into something. We are into something, man. And this is not drug-induced either. This is real. I've never had this feeling before, really. This is wild. This is wild, isn't it? You feel it? I'm feeling it.
But I am into the intellectual thing. I went to college. I studied the great philosophers, Socrates. I studied Plato. And you know, you learn the important things. Like, if you're studying geology, which is all facts, as soon as you get out of school, you forget it all, you know? Because it's just numbers and things. But philosophy, you remember just enough to screw you up for the rest of your life. And you study the important, like, ethical questions. Is it okay to yell movie in a crowded firehouse? Religious questions. Does the Pope shit in the woods? Keep waiting sometime, you know. Oh. If there is a God, give me a sign. See, I told you that the wouldn't it be weird if you died
and you woke up and you were in heaven, just like they always told you. And everybody had wings on and pearly gates. Wouldn't you feel stupid?
Oh no!
You mean that this is what? Oh. In college, they said this was all bullshit.
I'll just come in and... What? You been keeping records on me? Well, I wasn't so bad. How many times did I take the Lord's name in vain?
Ooh.
1,000,006. Oh. Jesus Christ. We're going to get to the meat of the act pretty soon. I'm just kind of coasting here.
Hey, what do you want for $4? I don't want a real show or something.
I don't need this, you know what I mean?
I'm a neat guy.
More wine. Nah, it's so hard. It's so hard to believe in anything anymore. You know what I mean? It's like religion. I mean, you can't really take it seriously because it seems so mythological and it seems so arbitrary. And then on the other hand, science, you know, it's just pure empiricism, and by virtue of it, of its method, it excludes metaphysics. And I guess I wouldn't believe in anything if it weren't for my lucky astrology mood watch. College, you feel so small, you know? You go to college, you study about guys like Leonardo, who did everything. A scientist, a great painter, a great architect and designer. And you feel like an idiot. And I wanted to, you know, expand my life in the way that Leonardo did. And that's why I took up juggling. I know what you're saying. You're saying, Steve, where do you find time to juggle? Well, I juggle in my mind. Whoops. Okay. But people look at guys like the Mona Lisa. Leonardo's Mona Lisa, and they think, oh, that's not so great. But not a lot of people know this. The Mona Lisa was painted with one stroke. You just went,
how's this?
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. All right, okay, okay. Excuse me, I just went to the Bahamas for a second. All right. Well, anyway, I guess you can tell that I'm into language, and language is kind of my thing, being a comedian. And if you don't have a command of the language, nothing to be embarrassed about, but because this is my profession. And let's face it, some people have a way with words, other people. Not have a way, I guess. See, I'm into language. You have to have a command of the English language, you're just nowhere. I mean, like, say you get out of college or whatever you do. You're going to go into business. Say you're going to open a bank. Now, just for an example, you've got to give it the right name. It's got to be something big and strong, like Security First Trust and Federal Reserve. And you have to name a bank that because nobody's going to put their money in Fred's Bank. Hi, I'm Fred. I have a bank. You got 1,500? I'll put it. I'll put it here in my white suit. White suit, right hand pocket. Okay, you got to remember that. I got a great dirty trick you can play on a 3-year-old kid. See, kids learn how to talk from listening to their parents. See? Right. How's it going? See, this is a good one you can pull out. See, what you do? If you have a 3-year-old kid and you want to play a dirty trick on him, whenever you're around him, you talk wrong. So now it's like his first day in school and he raises his hand. May I mumbo dog face to the banana patch? Give that kid a special test. Get him out. Oh, let me give you a warning, okay? I was in Paris about 2 months ago. And it was just a little vacation. I was on the East Coast. I had 7 days off. I said, well, I'll just go over there and I'll go to Paris. But let me give you a warning. If you're going over there, here's an example. Chapeau means hat. Ouf means egg. It's like those French have a different word for everything. Serious. See, you never appreciate your language till you go to a foreign country that doesn't have the courtesy to speak English. I went over there thinking, no problem. I don't speak any French. I'm thinking, no problem. English is a universal language. It'll be easy. So I get off the plane, get into the taxi, say to the driver, I dig baby talk. Okay. Have I started yet? I have. Okay, well then let's just keep going. Oh, so anyway, you go to Paris, France, and well, let's go back to what I was talking about Paris, France. I remember, don't worry. No, so did I say a courtesy to speak English? I said that, okay? Now, I went over there thinking, you know, oh, everyone's going to speak English, no problem. I don't speak a word of French. It's a universal language, so I'll just be able to speak English. So I get off the plane, I get into a taxi. The first indication I'm going to have trouble, I say to the driver, I'd like to go to a hotel, please. The driver turns and goes, Je te suis la douleur de soi. What? What is that you're saying? So the first thing you do, this is really dumb. You think this will help. You adopt a French accent. I would like to go to the hotel. So that's nothing. So I went out, I bought a little French phrase book, hoping to memorize little phrases, you know, can I go to the bathroom and things like that. But French is not like Spanish. In Spanish, you can sound it out. It's easy for Americans. You know, every vowel is a syllable. You go, Casa de Pepe. Donde está Casa de Pepe? But French is like, Je ne le dois. Le dois. What happened? What happened? He spoke French! Help him! So the only thing I could remember was cheese omelette. You know? Omelette du fromage. I'm practicing all the time. Omelette du fromage. And meeting people, you know, hey, omelette du fromage. Finally, I go into a restaurant, and omelette du fromage. And the problem, if you order in French, the waiter thinks you speak French. He goes, Je te suis la douleur de soi? And you go, yes! He brings you a shoe with cheese on it. And you also told him to force it down your throat. I'll have a shoe with cheese on it, force it down my throat, and I want to massage your grandmother, okay? I finally figured out the secret to ordering food. It's all sound effects. Went into a restaurant, wanted to order milk, eggs, and ham. I'm going to go, mmm. Waiter looked at me and goes, I beg your pardon.
Okay. Enough comedy jokes.
All right.
What's your moonwash say?
Yeah, I remember when I had my first beer.
I'm not sticking with the regular stuff tonight. You paid the money. You paid $4? $4.50?
Believe me, sometimes, yeah, it's a good investment. Sometimes I come out here, I do $4.75 show. I might do a $5 show, so, yeah. If you pay $4.50, I don't do a $4.25 show. I keep going. I do a $4.50 show, and that's it, baby. So you may make a little bread off this tonight. I'm into bread. I love money. I love everything about money. I love to eat it. Eat money. You say you can't take it with you? I'm taking it with me. I'm into bread. I love bread. I bought some pretty good stuff. Got me a $300 pair of socks. I got a fur sink. Oh, let's see. Electric dog polisher. That was a good one. Gasoline-powered turtleneck sweater. And, of course, I bought some dumb stuff, too, you know.
All right, well, let's start. Okay, you paid the money. You're expecting to see a professional show, so let's not waste any more time. Let's go with professional show business. Hey! Let's go. Okay.
I'm on drugs. I mean, you know what it is. It's the deal, man. I'll have to get small. It's a wild, wild drug. Very dangerous for kids, though, because they get really small. I know I shouldn't get small when I'm driving, but... I was driving around the other day. And a cop pulls me over. And he goes, "Hey, are you small?" I said, "No, I'm tall. I'm tall." He said, "Well, I'm going to have to measure you. I got a little test I gave you. It's a balloon. If you can get inside of it, they know you're small. They can't put you in a regular cell either, because you walk right out." One night I got really small and got inside a vacuum cleaner. And the drug wore off. I retained the shape of a vacuum cleaner for about 2 weeks. Wild to get small. You say to me, "Steve, how did you get your start? Was it easy for you on the way up?" No. I started off at the bottom. I was born a poor black child. And all day long around the house, you know, they'd sing the blues. And then I heard my first Mantovani record. And I knew that this is where it's at for me. This is the kind of music I enjoy. These are my people. So I decided to become white. And I had my cock shortened. And I got a job as a television weatherman. And it's a slow change, you know. I'm still black from the neck down and from my arms up. So. Okay, I don't like to gear my material to the audience, but I'd like to make an exception because I was told that there is a convention of plumbers in San Francisco this week, and I understand about 30 of them came down to the show tonight. So before I came out, I worked up a joke especially for the plumbers. And now those of you who aren't plumbers probably won't get this and won't think it's funny, but I think those of you who are plumbers will really enjoy this. And so if you're not a plumber, please just bear with me for a while and just kind of, you know, hold off on this. But I would like to do this for the plumbers. So here we go. This lawn supervisor was out on a sprinkler maintenance job. And he started working on a Finlay sprinkler head with a Langstrom 7-inch gangly wrench. Well, just then a little apprentice leaned over and said, "You can't work on a Finlay sprinkler head with a Langstrom 7-inch wrench." Well, this infuriated the supervisor, so he went and got volume 14 of the Kinsley manual. And he reads through and says, "The Langstrom 7-inch wrench can be used with a Finlay sprocket." Just then the little apprentice leaned over and says, "It says sprocket, not socket." Well, those plumbers supposed to be here this show or was that... Okay. Well, I think we're having fun now, eh, folks?
sure I'm pissed, but what difference is it?
We're having some fun here at the fabulous boarding house in San Francisco, California. We've got music, we've got laughter, and wonderful time here at the boarding house. It's only $4 every 5 minutes here at the boarding house in San Francisco.
It's such a hard chord.
Oh, sure, I could make the easy chord. I could do this one. I don't know, this has more meaning to me, I guess. Actually, to make the full chord, you have to play part of it with your nose for the bass. That enables you to make the reach down here with the little finger. But you know, I see people going to college for 14 years, studying to be doctors and lawyers. I see people getting up at 7:30 every morning, going to work at the drugstore to sell flare pins. But the most amazing thing to me is I get paid for doing this.
Okay.
I don't know what you heard about my show. You probably heard I was into the comedy thing, but... kind of getting out of that now, getting more into the music, and this is what I dig, so I'm kind of getting into American Indian folk music. I'd like to do one of these tunes for you now, because now I realize as a semi-professional comedian, I can't come out here and just sing a straight folk song and have people get into it the way I have. So what I've done is I've jazzed it up a little bit, given it that pop feel, so you might get into the rhythm of it. But basically, I have kept it very traditional. I'd like to do this for you right now. So this might be your introduction to this form of music that I love so much. So here we go.
I don't know if that's what you came to hear. I don't know if you're saying, oh, I wonder if he's going to be real dirty. Probably. Are any kids here tonight? Yeah. Just a little kid, yeah. Still a baby? Great, meet me up. No, I don't like to offend people. I'm doing those fag jokes or anything like that. Because, well, I don't like to offend people, and you never know who might be in the audience. So let's just... Well, how many fags do we have? Just a couple?
Okay, these two fruits are walking down the street, and
I've had a good time since I've been here in San Francisco. There's so much, it's an intellectual town. I'm certainly into that because today I went to the Turd Museum, and that was cool. They've got some great shit there. And, I guess some of that crap's worth a lot of money too.
Well, we're going to be starting. I've been delaying here just a few minutes. I'm waiting for the drugs to take effect. No, that's a joke. I'm not into drugs. I don't mess around with that stuff. I used to. I'm going to have to be honest with you. I mean, in the old days, and everybody would get stoned, you know, and the whole audience would be stoned, and I'd walk out stoned, and I'd come out and go... And people would be watching me, you know, and they'd be going... Hey, those guys are pretty good. They come up to me after the show and, you guys were great, man. Hey, you want to smoke some shit? Come on, smoke some shit. Go ahead. No, I don't want any marijuana. Marijuana, this is shit.
I am smoking my own shit. I was real naive in those days, too, you know. People would come back after the show, and they'd say, hey, man, you want to snort? And I'd go, sure. Well, I wouldn't smoke marijuana in California now, man. You can get a ticket for that. Well, anyway, let's start. I mean, let's not waste any more time.
Is this on? Can you hear me out there? Is this mic on? Are we having? Are we going? Okay.
When you're playing the banjo, and you just can't go, oh, death and grief and sorrow and murder. When you're playing the banjo, everything's okay.
Hey, Steve, your house is burning down.
I just thought the banjo was the one thing that could have saved Nixon, you know. He went on television right at the right time, went, hi, everything's great. I think it'd be great if he had been traveling around the country and got off the plane and said, I'd like to talk about politics, but first a little Foggy Mountain breakdown. Then he'd go to foreign countries and he'd get off the plane and people would go, hey, do Foggy Mountain. I don't like to talk about Nixon, that's just... so old, first of all. It's kind of like making Ike jokes. But second thing is I feel sorry for him, you know? I know I shouldn't because he did wrong and everything, but I just, this image of him walking along the beach in San Clemente, you know, all by himself with big old shorts on, you know, and a metal detector, you know.
Okay, let's get moving now, huh?
Yeah, the banjo's so happy. I think people who are out of work, instead of giving them money, we should give them a banjo. And then go home and,
did you get a job today, dear? Nope! Doesn't matter, though!
Doesn't it seem like Carter should have a banjo?
Oh, help, 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 help. And what do you think about unemployment? Oh,
all right, folks. Hey, do you have much crime here? Of course you do, right, San Francisco? Must be a lot of muggers and stuff. I worry because I walk home every night, you know. And somebody's going to come in, hey, buddy. So I have everything, you know. It doesn't bother me because I have figured out something. Muggers do not like to rob you if they think you're crazy. Because they're afraid they'll start having to explain, you know, and take up too much time, and they'll be standing there going...
Okay, one more time. Take the money out, give it to me, I'll run off.
And then you won't have the money, then you yell for help, okay?
No, no, no.
What?
So all you have to do is look crazy, you know? So whenever I have like $10 and I want to walk down the street with it, first, I wet my pants. So I get a big stain. Then I take a baby carriage and push it down the street and put garbage in it. Now, if you don't want to get that involved, much simpler thing, the moment you are aware you're being robbed, throw up on your money.
We'll pass. We'll get you next time, though, buddy. Thanks for coming by.
I got a lot of neat things like that, like solutions to the population problem. That's simple. Death penalty for parking violation.
Check the time. Don't want to do too long.
I got a test tomorrow. I can get that degree and get out of this bullshit. Tell you that.
You have to forgive me. No, I'm in a bad mood. I'm honest. I'll be honest with you. Because of some of the press I've been getting, it's starting to drive me nuts. I mean, don't I have a right to privacy? I mean, I no longer have a private life. I mean, I think I have a right to that, and I'm sorry. I read a thing about myself in the National Enquirer about a week ago I could not believe. I mean, so what if I have this thing on my balls?
Okay, we're moving now, folks. Sorry, the show was a little late. The plane was late today. I was supposed to get here at noon, and I got here at 12:04. Kind of threw me off for the whole day. I had to rush to the hospital. I kind of a freak accident. I had to have my face removed from the inside of a drinking glass. So it happened. You know how you get a drink? Sometimes they put a swizzle stick in it, but you think it's a straw. Well, I sucked my face right inside the glass. The doctor said it wouldn't hurt to leave it on, but you could have it on or off. It didn't matter which. But I decided, hey, I'm in showbiz. I opted to take it off. Right? I don't know if you know this or not, we're recording some comedy jokes here tonight. And what we do is when we get this tape, we're going to take it to Warner Brothers and we're going to erase it. I'd like to open up with kind of a traditional comedy bit. I'm going back to the old traditional comedy bits. I know I used to do the far out, but now I'm back to the traditional because I have the both now. The traditional on one hand, the far out on the other. So now the whole, the unified. Because this appeals to everyone this way. This way you don't eliminate. And I think if you appeal to everyone, it's more money. And this is why. So I'm going to do a traditional comedy bit, the old sound effects routine. This is where I tell a little story and sort of make it come to life through the use of sound effects. Now, this is done totally with my own voice. There's no gimmicks or anything like that. So here we go. If you close your eyes, I think you're going to be able to imagine that you're in a sleazy nightclub in San Francisco. So. Well, I woke up this morning and had a bowl of cornflakes. Then I went down and started up the car. But fortunately, the atom bomb went off. I can make any sound. It's fantastic.
Whoa.
I'm feeling pretty good tonight because it's closing night and I'm going to go home tomorrow. And I've realized now I'm going to be rich because... not because of performing. I've got another thing. I've figured out a way to turn dog shit into gold. So if you've got that, you've got a good thing. So if you see me sniffing around your shoes, this is why. Because I'll be looking for the dog shit. It's gold to me. You know what I'm saying? I think you do. A lot of you people are saying, hey, this is Steve Martin, your real name. And, finally, it's time I could admit it. It's not my real name. When I first started in show business, my manager suggested that I change my name because they thought the other name was funny sounding. And so I changed it to Steve Martin. And now I think enough time has gone by and the audience has gotten a little more sophisticated. And I'm going to go back and start using my real name. And I don't think people will laugh when they hear my real name is Gern Blanston. I'll be doing a show this fall on TV, the Gern Blanston Show. A couple albums coming out. The first one will be just Gern. Second one, Simply Gern. Do a couple of movies, Gern Goes to College. And, doing some cassette tapes, Learn with Gern, language things. So now I only answer to the name Gern Blanston. This is the new thing for Gern. Well, I don't need you. I know a lot of you people are sitting out there saying to yourselves, hey, Steve, which is a funny thing to say to yourself. But anyway, I know you're saying, Steve, you're a rambling guy. Is it tough on you traveling around from town to town, staying in a different hotel every night, not knowing anybody in these different towns? And I've kind of got a whole new thing worked out now, like I came into San Francisco early this morning and bought a house. Met a cute gal, got married. We have a little baby, another one on the way. Tomorrow, wake up, have a home-cooked meal, sell the house, get a divorce, get on to the next town. This is what Steve is into now, so thank you.
I know what you're saying.
You're saying, hey, wait a minute. Steve's wearing loafers. No laces on his shoes. Born to be wild. Okay. You know, a lot of people come to me and say, Steve, how can you be so fucking funny? I'm not trying to brag, I'm not trying to be a big shot, but I have the gift that all the great comedians have, and I'm talking about the one element that is crucial to all delivery of comedy material. I'm talking about, of course, timing.
Timing.
But I feel good tonight. I finally figured out my goals in life. And this is the important thing. This is what I have done. See, the important thing in knowing your goals is not to set some big, impossible goal that you can never reach. You've got to have a series of smaller goals that you can accomplish and get the reward and move on to the next one. And this is what I've done. My goal now, I want to be the all-being master of time, space, and dimension. Then I want to go to Europe. Some people don't like me because I'm an individual. Pardonnez-moi! You know, a lot of people ask me if Steve Martin is my real name. Have I changed it for show business or anything like that? And now I'm not ashamed to admit it, because I did have a funny name when I was a kid, and I decided to change it for show business. But I think enough time has gone by, and audiences are more sophisticated now that they won't laugh at my real name. My real name is... So my parents had a sense of humor. My sister's name was Hill. And my mother got to call us for dinner, and she'd go, Hill. So I had to move around a lot. But other than that, I had a very normal childhood. And I was thinking about this just the other day. I was just sitting home doing terrible things to my dog with a fork. And I started thinking about when I was in high school. I had a real normal, kind of healthy high school. I was on the football team. I was a quarterback. And I quit after 2 weeks, and I'll tell you why. Because when I'm the quarterback, I think I should be calling the plays. I don't think the coach should be sending in the plays. I'm in charge out there, and that's the way I felt. And I had my own strategy. I used to like to punt on first down. So I quit that, became a cheerleader. And that was really fun. You know, I got my first experience standing up in front of people, and I got my first writing experience. I wrote cheers for the team. But the other cheerleaders were so jealous. They would not use one of my cheers. I wrote, "Die, you gravy-sucking pigs." And... "Try and make a touchdown, you scumbags." How many people ate at McDonald's tonight? Reason I ask is I'm kind of jealous, because the last time I came here, they kicked me out of this one. I can't go back in there anymore. This is stupid. I went in, and I accidentally started a grease fire. I threw a match in the cook's hair. So I have a theory about McDonald's, and that is everything they make is all one thing. And in the back, you know, they have this big vat full of this stuff.
and these little molds come by and he goes, whoosh, hamburger, whoosh, malt, whoosh, paper box, whoosh, here's your change, thank you.
You know, a lot of people think, they say to me, hey, you travel around all the time, you must not be able to get good foods to eat. But I love hot dogs. And you can get a hot dog any place, so it's easy for me to eat right. But people still come up, they say, oh, don't eat hot dogs, they have really weird things in them, you know. But it doesn't bother me because I love animal lips. And I guess rat feces is one of my favorite things, I guess. I do enjoy it. So, you know, everybody thinks traveling around is really wild, you know, and they say, hey, you must meet a lot of girls, and it's not. It's kind of a lonely life, I guess, and you really don't meet people because you don't have time. Maybe you're in town for one night or, you know, at the most a week, and it's really kind of a lonely kind of life. You really spend a lot of lonely nights, I guess. And what happens is, you know, you don't meet many girls, and pretty soon, you know, you start, you start getting, like, weird sexual outlets, I guess. I shouldn't talk about this. Well, hey, what the heck? We're here. We're with... Okay, now... I'm not ashamed of it anymore. I used to be, but now, hey, what the heck? I like to I like to wear men's underwear. And what'll happen? You know, I'll come into a town like this, and I'll resist for a couple of days, you know, and then I'll start getting that feeling, you know, and I'll go down to Penny's, and I'll buy some men's underwear. You know, take it back to the hotel and put it on. And then sometimes, you know, I'll like put it on under my clothes. And then I can go out into the street and no one will know I have it on. And it's wild. Because the times, they are a shonging. How many people have cats? One, two, three, four. Okay, 10. Now, let me ask you this. Do you trust them? Because I've got to get a pair of cat handcuffs and I got to get them right away. Just the little ones that go around the little front paws. Or maybe the manacles of four that get all four paws. But what a drag. I found out my cat was embezzling from me. You think you know a cat for 10 years? He pulls something like this. Found out while I was away, he would go out to the mailbox, pick up the checks, take them down to the bank and cash them, disguised as me. He had the little kitty arrow through the head, and the little kitty bunny ears. And I wouldn't have caught him, but I went outside to his house where he sleeps, and there was about $3,000 worth of cat toys out there. And you can't return them because they have spit all over them. So now I'm stuck with $3,000 worth of cat toys. Oh, sure, they're fun. Got the little rubber mouse, has a bell inside of it. Boy, I hate it when it goes under the sofa. Whoa, give me that, give me that, give me that. By the way, it's a new law now. I have to do this. I don't like to, but it is by law. All comedians must make a financial disclosure during the show or at some point. So I have to do this. It's comedians' financial disclosure in accordance with the unilateral code established by Stephen Martin on this day. This disclosure is presented. Okay, a lot of percentages. Manager and agent, 30 to 35%. Road expenses, usually 10 to 20%. Development of new material, 0.00001%. And I've written that all up in a little pie graph here. Then over here I have a rubber chicken graph. Then I figured out potential concert income. If you fill a 3,000-seat hall at $3 per ticket, the gross is $9,000. If you fill a 3,000-seat hall at $7.50 per ticket, the gross is $22,500. And just for fun, I figured out if you fill a 3,000-seat hall at $800 a ticket, the gross is $2,400,000. And this is what I'm shooting for. One show.
Goodbye.
Say hi, Steve, one more time. Hi, Crime Stoppers!
Hi, Steve.
Let's repeat the Crime Stoppers oath. I promise not to bully my friends.
I promise not to,
I promise not to leave my keys in the car. I promise not to depreciate non-taxable items brought forth in the previous tax year. Let's repeat the non-conformist oath. I promise to be different.
I promise to be different.
I promise to be unique.
I promise to be unique.
I promise not to repeat things other people say. Good. Okay, have a new single out, King Tut. Whoa! Well. Well, as King Tut would say, mucho dinero. Well, the only reason I mention it, first of all, a lot of people do ask me if that's my natural voice on the record. You know, did we augment it with echo and all those studio tricks, and we did not. That's my absolutely real voice, and well, I'll prove it to you right now. Here we go. Oh. King Tut had to go to Hunky-dunky. Sorry, I just lost my mind just for a moment. But that's okay for me! Because I am a wild and crazy guy! Many people come to me and they say, hey, how can you be such a swinging sex god? Well, I'll tell you, it's not because I can make love up to one time a night. It's not because I said the things that woman wants to hear, like, are you through yet?
It's because I know how to read a woman. If she is like a cat, I have kitty litter. If she is like a dog, we do it on the paper. But I'm also a unique guy too. The kind of guy who likes to have his own special scent. Not to smell like every other guy. I like to have my own individual odor. That's why I wear tuna fish sandwich. I put a tuna fish sandwich under each arm. Maybe one or two behind the ears. I don't smell like an other guy. And it's economical too, because the smell lasts for 4 or 5 days.
Okay.
I feel good tonight. I really do. I finally got something I always wanted, and that's important. It really is. I finally got some hostages.
Well, you see so many people with hostages nowadays, and you say, hey, I'd like some too.
So I've got three of them. They're really nice people. We're getting along great. They're tied in a sack outside at the top of the flagpole. And I'm going to blow them up at midnight too. Unless, of course, I get my three demands. 100,000 in cash, getaway car, and I want the letter M stricken from the English language. So you have to make one crazy demand. That way, if you get caught, you can plead insanity. Getaway car.
What other gags are there?
One last thing. If you bought my album and you came down here expecting me to do a lot of routines from the record and I didn't do them, maybe one or two, there's a reason for that. I think performers have to move on. You just can't do the same old material over and over and over, and it's kind of a cheat, I think, to rely on the same stuff. And if you don't agree with me,
well, excuse me!
One of the greatest art exhibits ever to tour the United States. Is the treasures of Tutankhamun or King Tut?
He gave his life for tourism.
golden idol. He's an Egyptian. They're selling you. Stoner.
Thank you. Good night. Thank you.
Wow. You know, I've always been such a fan of Steve Martin.
Yeah, ever since I saw the Jerk as a kid, I was sold.
I think what did it for me was that he was always playing this, you know, sort of uncool Phoebe. He went gray really early. Side parted hair. His name's Steve. It was all stuff I kind of identified with. Especially growing up in the 80s when he had that long string of mainstream successes. I would really look forward to seeing a new Steve Martin movie.
Yeah, I don't think I watched them as they came out. I think I watched them in the late 90s.
Yeah.
Like in high school. And I remember liking that they were slapsticky, which seemed at the time somehow like a risk to me.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's interesting how much that sort of non sequitur style of comedy has actually really taken off.
Yeah. Despite living in Los Angeles, I don't really know too much about the contemporary comedy scene. But it does seem like Larry David's got a stranglehold on part of it. And he clearly owes some stuff to Steve Martin.
Yeah. It's interesting too, because you know that in almost all discussions of comedy, you hear people talking about what it's like in the clubs. And you assume that the comedy is so much harsher and wilder in this club somewhere. But you never really see any evidence of it on the actual recordings.
Yeah, I hear they're really nasty at the clubs.
No, exactly, exactly. You hear about Bob Saget being just outrageous, and I don't know. I mean, to be fair, I've never actually watched any of that Bob Saget stuff.
Yeah, wasn't he in Full House? I've seen that. I guess, you know, it's probably not dissimilar from every other sector of culture where when someone throws a bunch of money at you, like putting you on a TV show, there are unspoken and spoken requirements of your behavior.
Anyway, so in response to all of this Beach Boys talk, there is Steve Martin, the period, and the collegial beginning of our fall semester on the talking show. K-Chung Radio's oldest talking show. Good night, everyone.